I am Adam Blue, and obviously missing is Steven. Midnight Hatter. Links below. He won't be joining us today, but have a cool show. We're actually going to have a cool show. Zionic Shadow with the first WD-30 Second Coming. Awesome. Volume. If it is low, let me know. If the that could be something I need to fix. Oh, you showed up on time, Alter. Good for you. Actually, let me take this, because I'm actually going to be doing something. This might sound better. I'm actually going to be doing something interesting here. Check this out. Yeah, this is a live show about Gundam, and usually I have someone here with me. You know what? We've started some beef. You know, I did a Gundam mainline animation suit tier list from Universal Century. I put the Zeta at B. Steven wasn't too happy about that. He didn't show up today. I don't know what that's going to mean in the future. yeah, let's see who else we've got. We've got Peter, potentially. I think you said I mispronounced your name before, but without vowels, I have a hard time. Yeah, okay, so a couple things. First of all, I'm going to do a shameless plug, if you all don't mind. Let's see if I can get this to work. What is going on my keyboard? So basically, did my keyboard just stop? Okay, so basically every morning, Monday through Friday, for about 30 minutes, starting 8 Central, I actually do a video game news segment on my other channel. And here, I'll hit send here and see if that worked. Yeah, my keyboard just turned on now. Wow, fantastic. So anyway, I just wanted to show it off because it's something else I am doing, because I really love talking video game stuff, and there's a lot of crossover. In fact, there's a couple from... yeah, more than a couple, I guess, from here that will show up on that Blue Gamer channel. So, you know, that's all cool. Okay, here's something that I wanted to do today, everyone. Today's going to be a Q&A and an office tour, I guess, maybe. But here's the other thing I want to do also, and I might need to move this. So check out the screen. So I guess if you're listening, you might miss out on some of it. Maybe watch it later. I'm going to go around my room. And then you guys can be like, hey, I want to see that up close, and I'm going to put it here. I think that's an awesome little thing. Okay. Let me see if there's any other house cleaning going on. No, I had a couple videos come out this week. I did the tier list. I did the video about the chain bases. And I think something that maybe wasn't clear in the video is, like, these are only found at the Daiso stores. I haven't seen them online. I've looked for them online because I would, like, totally buy them all. And I could go to the store and buy them all. I just felt bad, so I didn't. The Immortal Justice, Zionic Shadow, good call. So I am actually doing some synergy with this. So Sieg New York and Zionic Shadow are going to get another shout out because I am going to be seeing the Gundam Seed Freedom movie in theaters. And so I'm going to have my review of the Justice Kit come out around that time. I was originally going to do it much earlier, and then I wanted to spread out the Seed stuff because I'm curious about how excited I'm going to get after seeing the Seed Freedom movie, just because I think the kit designs are cool, the mobile suit designs are cool, and, you know, I liked the action in Destiny, and I think it's exciting to be sitting in a theater seeing modern Gundam animation done on the big screen, so I'm super excited about that. Let's see. Going to GP for what's or JP? What's JP? Jurassic Park? Let's see. I'm so ready for the theatrical movie. Yep, same here. Or is it airing out of islands too? I don't know what that means. Freedom's animation is fantastic. That's good to hear. I saw, yeah, that little intro thing they shared, and it looked good. Yeah, good blend of 3D. It's like they're doing the 3D parts right. Let's see. Oh, Japan. No, not going to Japan. That would be amazing. That's a goal. That's a goal of mine, to go to Japan, cover some Gundam stuff, and video games. I mean, I feel that's weird. Like, some of my favorite stuff, like, comes from Japan. Okay. So, yeah, sent the link, talked about this, that, or the other. Now, just a quick little tour. I wonder if you guys are getting sick with how the camera's bouncing around. But hopefully I don't break anything. But I'm walking over here, back in my office. And let's see. How do I have the camera watch me? So here is my original 0079 shelf. And then I've got... No, this is Zeta. I'm sorry. This is the Zeta shelf right here. And then do I have to move? This didn't work as planned, but it's close enough. And then I've got the 0079 shelf here. It's mainly Robot Spirits, just model kits wherever I maybe have not had a model kit of something. I think the little dog came into this office because she's scared of the big dog. And now she's looking at the curtain like, how did I get in? Okay. You can go, doggy. Go. All right. And then down here, it's... hey. OFMS team going on here. A lot of cool stuff out of here. And then there's Stardust Memory stuff down here, but I have these boxes up that are kind of blocking it. But yeah, as you guys see something, call it out. I'm going to bring it over, and then we can have it here on this. So, for instance, I have this Cold Districts GM because it is completely badass. Let's see. I have to move something out of the way. Okay, there we go. Let's see. So with this, the Cold District type, this is something I did a review of before. But I it's still like one of my favorites. I keep it around here with me just because it does everything awesome you would expect from a GM. You know, I've said that enough. The other thing I keep around is the Double Zeta prototype, because this thing is completely awesome. The colors are awesome. The just the idea of this is awesome. It takes away from the Double Zeta, which has kind of a kitty look. Not really, kind of, you know. I don't know if that's judgy. Yeah, Cold District's GM. A Beam Saber came out. Let's see. Man, I don't even like the Double Zeta, but the Proto Double Zeta is a masterpiece. Oh, yeah, I'd agree. And it is kind of strange, too, how good that... Like, I like the Double Zeta, but that prototype Double Zeta, like, looks like the Double Zeta should look. I mean, it's just a great, badass, giant, Gundam-like suit. You know, it's awesome. Yeah, okay, so some other things... See, the camera falls back here. So this is, I really got to work on the geometry of the camera in my room, because it's like here, but I'm blocking it. This is a record player. And then right underneath, let's, come down here. This is where I keep my my metal builds. I have the F91, Crossbone, Hainu. And then as of recent, let's see if I can waddle over here, X-Men. Yeah, I got a bunch of X-Men down here. And then just some other random stuff down here. And the reason I kind of wanted to show this stuff off is because I'm actually here, right here. Yeah, I do plan to reorganize, get new shelving, just to kind of make it, I'm trying to make things look less cluttered, but still have as much stuff out as possible. So let's see. Yeah, Gundam Explained Cribs. Oh, I should have opened with that. King Dylan, good call. I should have opened with that. Hey, guys, what's up? Adam Blue here. Welcome to my crib. Yeah, let's go over here. Here I've got step stool. Yeah, that's right. I use this to get the things that are up high. But, yeah, camera's not going to do that. Oh. Why don't I just use the step stool? Watch live, I actually fall. Check this out. Hey. So, yeah, look at what I got up here. Yeah, I got to be careful, but got a bunch of GMs, bunch of Pale Riders. They're not too organized because I am, again, like I said, I'm going to like reorganize everything, make it look a little different. Oh, what's this? He has a Gumpless sweatshop in the basement. No middleman. That's like that. That's a good idea for some like dark, fake. What do they call it? Creepypasta, where it's like I'm a Gundam YouTuber and I don't build my kits, but I actually have slaves that build them for me. So then I can paint them and photograph them. Okay. So now we're going to walk this way. Okay. Let's see how much I can get in this shot. Here is my Hathaway shelf. Got the Penelope, the Gasai, or the C, depending on what you prefer. One of the Messers. It's the lesser Messer, because I think there's a major Messer. I love these designs. That's why I have them here at the top, because I feel like this is like outrageous, crazy Japanese mecha anime design, with it still retaining some of that grounded look in a way. Like if you see the evolution of a Gundam, you could still practically see that being some sort of machine Anaheim Electronics could make. And then a little further down here, this is my... Man, I'm like doing squats. This is my Vance of Zeta shelf. Got a Hazel Lunart, Mark II Titan. Mark version. Some other Hazels, Hazen III. Not as much as I'd like to have, and I'd like to expand on that. Let's see if we can move down some more. Yeah, that's right. Join me. And then right here is the unicorn shelf. So we've got the Gashatria Robot Spirits that I love. I love that thing. And then the Jagan. There's a more specific name to it. That's there. I'm sure in the chat I'll be told what it is. Unicorn, obviously. Banshee. And Barlant Custom, which is a badass. That's the Gotoki. Version Gotoki Robot Spirits. And then this bottom shelf, I don't know if you guys can see that all that well. That's just some random stuff. I have some more in the pocket, like Dingo, Crossbone. They're the robot spirits that actually don't have like a specific... No, wrong way. Yeah, come on. Okay, there we go. Let's see. Stark Jagan. No one knows. You can always count on no one knowing. Let's see. Oh, that, yeah, this little banner thing is probably covering those lower shots. Good call on that. Did that do it? No. There we go. Okay, that might help. Let's see. Image. Oh, yeah, let me actually click so it's in the thing. Gundam with a cape be like, also, hello, testing out a new camera. You know what? No, I'm not testing out a new camera, but, you know, since Steven and I gotten that beef over Zeta being, wait, no, I read it as A, that's right, and not S. I kind of sat in my office crying for a few hours, and I was like, you know, if he's not going to be there, how can I make it so exciting that no one will even know? And so I have this camera that I never used that I paid a lot of money for. I'm now putting it to good use. So, but anyway, guys, from what I've shown off, feel free to be like, hey, Adam, I want to see that closer. Like, I even have things up here, up there. We'll just name a mobile suit and let's see if I have it. And there is dog being annoying in the background. Apologies on that. Here is Cyclops. Okay, guys, hold on a second. Hold on. Sorry, the dog just barks at my wife, and my wife doesn't know what to do about it. So I just said, dog, don't bark. What's your biggest Gunpla product? That is a good question. Good question. Let me see if I can grab it. And actually, I'll change the camera. Okay, hold on.
penis.
So this thing, obviously huge, and it's really cool. But for me, wow, it's dusty on the back. For me, it's more of a, it's less of a model kit for me, more of just a way to have a Nightingale at scale. Just because, you know, when it comes to building, and actually, I mean, I could change the camera, but it's going to be like impossible to fit this thing. So you could see, actually, with a lot of this, there's just big pieces, and that kind of took the fun away from it. It made it more like I was building an action figure, and I didn't mind, but I love it. Like, I love, like, how big and crazy it is. It doesn't even need to be that big, but it's like that ultimate suit of Amr Vershaar, so I love just how crazy it is. Nightingale eating 50 Big Macs. I know what that's like. He's a thick lad, yep. So big it's affecting the Wi-Fi. Well, yeah, that can happen. Okay. But there might be something else that's bigger. Let me grab it. Although that sentence could go anywhere, but hold on. All right. And actually, let me change. All right, so this guy. It has more pieces, and maybe it's bigger in terms of, hey guys, yeah, maybe it's like bigger in some ways. I think this is bigger, but it's a lot of like giant hollow red pieces. This has a lot of little pieces, so that's that. Needs panel lining. Which one needs panel lining? Are you saying the Nightingale? Because I did not panel line this one. I kind of want to. That might be a future project, but my goal was like, I just want to build a perfect grade and keep it as it is. But on this, there are areas I need a panel line. Or maybe, I don't know. I'm still thinking. This one I did panel line, but I'm a light panel liner. Oh, there we go. Thanks, King Dylan. This is panel line, but I'm a light panel liner. Let me, just because I guess I'm always seeing these things up close and playing with them, I don't like it when the spots look too dark and almost blotchy. It's almost like I like it to look like it would be like an action figure that came from a manufacturer that did some light, but I know what you mean. I don't think I've really truly found my preferred overall look for panel lining, especially because this is all red, and sometimes other colors like brown can actually help out in that. So, yeah, that might be a future project. Thanks for bringing that up. You could do custom panel lines on the... Oh, yeah. Okay, so that's a great idea. That's a good point to bring up. Yeah, I've never been a big fan of really dark panel lining. It looks almost cartoony. Yeah, which... Yeah, again, I don't like that. But you know what? I'm guessing people like that because it's kind of the basis of a lot of the Gunplas from a cartoon. I wonder if there will ever be a Gunpla or a toy model of a space colony. That is a great question. That is a great idea. I would love to have like a little, you know, it doesn't have to be big either. I can't have things to scale. Could I? No. Yeah, to have like a little, like the different types of colonies that they have and like have them represented, that would be awesome. I like fairly subtle panel lining, yeah, same here. Maybe a little more on the wing binders. Yeah, I did go really light, and I actually did not even put any on a certain part of it. I'll revisit it. I've noticed it's been fun revisiting kits and actually being like, okay, I know more now, and then doing whatever. All right, hello, people. Somehow, oh, Talos Mobius, good to see you, man. I had messaged you. I know you're busy with everything, and I was just seeing what you were up to. Congrats on everything. Hope you're having fun out there. I prefer lots of parts where instead of panel lining, you can paint with different shades. That is actually end result best idea, I think. that's harder to do when not many kits. It's almost like you have to modify your kits to really give that off. I guess that's where scribing comes from. But when you have a lot of panels, and I think that's where you kind of see this, where there's actually different colored parts on here. And that also helps break it up. Okay, something fell. Let's see. Is Nightingale practical in reality? You know what? That is a good question, and I would probably say in the gravity of space, anything is practical. Okay, I've done that 100 gun and mixing white with shades of silver. Oh, you know what? Did you guys see Steven's latest video on panel lining? Had a lot of cool stuff related to that with tips and stuff. Why am I saying good stuff about Steven?
Why?
He doesn't like that I gave the Zeta an A instead of an S. You know what? And it'll be long. This is going to be some long-term beef, everybody. Okay. Maybe calling the diorama made from a PVC pipe cut in half. Wow, you know what? That's a good point. I think when it comes to like the shape and the details of a colony, that would probably be easier to custom make. Yeah. Hello there. I did that bad. I did that bad. Please don't get on. I'm not a racist. Okay. I just showed up. What did I miss? What is up, Kyle? Glad you're here. Gosh, I feel like I need to talk to you all the time. Like X-Men is just in my head. And I feel like the authority. I don't know what it is. But yeah, I guess for those just tuning in, you know, Steven thinks Zeta's S tier. So we're not really talking right now. He's busy doing his thing, family. Ooh. So I'm just doing a tour of my room with this sick camera that I never used and I bought like 2 years ago. And I can do this. That's pretty neat. And I'm actually getting an exercise in too. I feel my heart rate. I'm having trouble breathing. Let's see. You missed the fist fight between Steven and Adam over their Zeta beef. Yeah, that's exactly it. Let's see what happens on Steven's show next week, because he can't have a show without me.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. The variants of the Zeta are the true S-class. I love that response. Okay, you know what, guys, I'm going to do for a second, because I'm about to throw up. I'm going to turn off the tracking as I stand here. Let's see. It's okay. I do the Talos hello there every time I talk to him. Yeah, you know what? My reality has changed. It's no longer an Obi-Wan hello there. It's not. It's a Talos hello there, which is based on the Obi-Wan hello there. It's an interesting evolution. Oh no, GE had a rivalry. That's right. Samir, I've been spending more time on X-Men than Gundam lately. Yeah, I've been splitting it in half. It's actually been nice because it's like I'll forget Gundam stuff as I'm getting X-Men stuff. And then I'll, you know, something Gundam will come up. I'll be like, oh, yeah, Gundam. And it has actually been fun. Like, I would say, like, this latest X-Men cartoon, I don't know. I'm surprised what it does because it's on Disney Plus, but I feel like it's like the most, like, I don't know how to explain it, because there's a lot of Western animation that when it's dark and adult, it's like overboard, like gore, sex, nudity, blah, blah, blah. But like this is, it can be serious and exciting and not have to be over the top violent, but also not be too kiddie. It's the first time. I would say like Batman Animated Series did a good job of this too. It doesn't happen too often, but it's like these cartoons are just telling a story. It's not aimed for kids. It's just telling a story. Anyone could. And when I say it's not aimed for kids, it's also not supposed to be dark and gritty and violent. It's like just the right. Let's see. Go away for 2 weeks and I miss the funnies. It's true that when you miss school for a day, all the cool stuff happens. Yeah, that's true. What else did you miss that was cool? I know there's been a lot more X-Men talk than normal. Let's see. X-Men has been really good. Yep. Oh, and the Fallout show. And I haven't watched it all, and I need to do that. By the end of the first episode, I was like, ah, it's all right. But, man, so many people are talking about it. Yeah, I'd say Batman TAS was like Noir, but not really dark. It was tasteful. Yeah, Exactly. Like, it's so crazy thinking how good that Batman show was, where it wasn't for kids, but it was dark, but not bad dark. And actually, you know what? While we're here, we'll just keep talking. But alongside Granddaddy here in his hand, oh, that's what fell. I've got him a friend, actually. And I think if you look at their height, and let me remove this, they're probably to scale if they went to battle with each other, right? Because isn't Wolvie a little shorter? Isn't this so awesome? Like, man, even looking at it on camera, it almost looks cooler than in person. That's actually not a good thing. But I think these are overpriced, these Mondo X-Men. But I like them much. It makes me giddy. Yeah, Wolverine is like the original Short King. Yep. I will say they have done the adaptation from to game to the show for Fallout is well done. Yeah. And that's funny because I don't know if I was reading an article, but it was like these executives that were talking and they were saying how, you know, how did you nail it? They're like, well, we just take the video game, we adapt it based on what it is. And it's crazy if you think, like, when I was in the 90s, whenever that Mario movie came out, I was really young, that live-action Mario movie. And I'm watching the movie, and I'm like, what am I seeing? It's so funny. When I was a kid, and I would watch these live-action movies that are adaptations, and they didn't really know what to do, or, like, it's this thing where it's like, okay, this is super popular, let's make it live action. If it's live action, that means it has to always look different or real, or, like, I don't know how to. And I even saw this recently. So my son is now a little more into X-Men because of this 97 that I was watching, and then we've been getting into it. And then we watched X-Men Origins Wolverine, and it's funny because I think I'm watching him realize how a live-action movie can completely ruin something. And that X-Men Origins Wolverine movie, while it's, like, entertaining, it's, like, it's doing things wrong. The craziest thing is Sabretooth just being in a black trench coat the whole time with a guy with a buzz cut. Like, that is the ultimate, like, adapting a game or cartoon to a movie. It's like, what do we do with this character? Let's just give him a black trench coat and say it's this character. It's like, no, it's not. And, you know, there's other things, too, with that I think sometimes these executives don't realize is by including things that look like they do in their original portrayals, you are building on that legacy of recognition that people are familiar with. And so as they get older, then they're always going to continue to like that stuff. And, you know, a good example, I think, is both from last year, the Mario movie and the Barbie movie, both of them we're like, okay, let's try to take the essence of what it is, feels, and looks like. Barbie, it's a little harder to do, but I think the story, the way they went with the story kind of lent to then that Barbie world, that idea of like a Barbie world, you know. I'm going to be honest, I didn't see the Barbie movie. I just heard about it. Yeah, that OG Mario movie, I almost feel like it's now good because of how insane it became. The goofy thing is I almost like what Leif Schreiber is doing with Sabretooth, but it's really, really not. Yeah, they kind of made, yeah, you know what, that is true. Like, that's the thing about that X-Men Origins Wolverine movie, like, the things they did as a fan of X-Men just don't make sense, especially Deadpool. But, like, as an action movie, it's actually pretty decent. All those actors are really cool, the characters are pretty neat. It's just, it's, like, unrecognizable, and it's like, okay, so this is the thing they spent millions of dollars on that I went to go to the theater to watch when, and it didn't, you know, a lot of people didn't like it. That's why the later sequels changed things up. It's nuts. Oh, yeah, and the dynamic with Wolverine. Yeah, you're right. It had that same sort of thing. They were in the same place, and then even with Gambit showing up, I was confused about that because, you know, remember, I'm more of a animated guy, and I did get the cards in the comics, but I never, like, after the animated show, I never continued with X-Men. But it seemed like some of the Gambit stuff they were trying to have it fit in, but it just really didn't. The Deadpool adaptation. That was funny. Well, I remember when Deadpool first, so I knew Deadpool. Like, by the time that X-Men Origins movie came out, I had, from the 90s, like, I was familiar with the Deadpool stuff. So when, and I even remember getting the comics of Cable and Deadpool, actually, in the 2000s, or whenever that was. When I wasn't even really reading comics, like, sometimes I just get things because I like art and all that, but, yeah, and then when I saw what they did, and Ryan Reynolds, I was like, perfect idea. I was already a fan of that actor from Two Guys Are Going to Pizza Place, Van Wilder, Waiting. I don't know if that was before or after, but anyway, he had done some really cool comedies, and then what they did with him didn't make sense. The fact that they came back and did what they did proved so many things, that you can adapt things to live action, that Hollywood execs don't know what they're talking about, let the creatives do their thing, just kind of reel them in when you need to. Apparently, Ryan Reynolds really fought them on it during production on Origins, so he tries to poke fun at it in Deadpool constantly. Yeah. I mean, I would too. If I was reading the script, I'm like, this is Deadpool? What? And you know what was amazing about that and how it worked was, one, Ryan Reynolds happened to be just popular enough and recognizable enough, and two, that CGI short that was leaked just made everyone go wild. If the internet wasn't around, it wouldn't have happened. I really think so. Let's see. Oh, the third Blade movie. That was another day. So we're bringing up some really... As someone that's into this stuff, into movies, that third Blade movie, there's some cool stuff in it. But I don't like what happened behind the scenes, because I'm a big fan of Wesley Snipes. I say let Wesley Snipes direct Blade 3, but what happened was David Goyer wanted to make, because again, Ryan Reynolds was getting popular at this time, wanted to make a spinoff with Ryan Reynolds and Jessica Biel. You know, Ryan Reynolds is a werewolf, Jessica Biel is Whistler's daughter, and so they made this movie to kind of prop them up, and they were, while they were shooting, they were reducing Wesley Snipes' scenes. When he had already choreographed fight scenes and stuff, and man, does that piss me off. That's what Blade is. It's Wesley Snipes. Like, I even think Disney needs to just be like, hey, we're doing rated R again. Let's get Wesley Snipes. Let's make a new Blade trilogy with Wesley Snipes. And if I guess the issue is, oh, well, look at his age, maybe find another vampire hunter from the comics. I'm not familiar with the Blade universe, but that can work with Blade. I don't know. You know, I would think Whistler is totally going to be gone from by now, so make it where that's kind of the fill-in. And I don't know if that's what it is. Like, why don't they get Wesley Snipes? He would say yes. Disney would be like, well, we can't pay you that much. And he'd be like, yeah, let's do it. Let's see. A lot of cool stuff in the chat. I think Blade 2 is an awesome action movie for what it is, and then Blade 3 is just... Yeah, that's a good point. So even Blade 2, I think Blade 2 did all it really needed to do was just be kind of a little more over the top into action. Blade 1 was so great, setting the tone in the story. It's like, what do you do with a sequel? Like, I think you do what Guillermo del Toro did. It's like, okay, let's highlight the cool things about Blade and then make that the movie. And it's him getting into situations where he has to be a total badass. In fact, when I was just talking a second ago about letting creators do what they want and then executives ruling them in, that's actually what happened on Blade 2. Guillermo del Toro originally wanted it to where those vampires, you know, the new ones, the evolved ones, they would have it where their head would split open and a little vampire would come out. And then it was something similar to that. And then the executives or whatever's like, nah, don't do that. So it was probably a good call. Yeah, doing a new Spawn movie, I'd be excited about that. Just make it an old man Blade sit in the far future. I mean, that would be cool. The reason I like Blade and as a movie, and the thing that Disney is missing is allowing seasoned and professional veteran martial artists plan out badass fight scenes. In my opinion, I don't think any fight scenes in any Marvel movie is really any good. They do have like the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 corridor fight scene, but a lot of times that's more like and there's nothing wrong with this, I consider that less of a choreographed fight scene and more of a choreographed comic page come to life. Now, when you see like Blade fight in Blade, what's his son fighting Blade? He's doing specific martial arts moves based on a certain form, and it's not over the top, but it's really, you could tell that the actors are having to be physically impressive in order to pull this stuff off, which, okay, I heard something fall, which is really awesome. And that's the other thing, in the Doctor Strange movie, which I love that Doctor Strange movie, because I like where really the whole time Stephen Strange himself was the antagonist, and then by the end, the Dormammu idea, the time fight thing, that was sick. But in that movie, one of the henchmen is one of the greatest movie martial arts actors right now, Scott Adkins. And for some reason, they delegated him to, a side enemy. He needs to be a lead. Scott Adkins could be Wolverine in the new Okay, you're talking about Sam Raimi. I just see Sam Raimi and I get excited. Yeah, Sam Raimi, he directed that second one, the second Doctor Strange. And another good point Alter's making here. I liked the second Doctor Strange, but they are completely different types of movies. I liked the first Doctor Strange because it did something very interesting with the narrative. And so I was thinking, okay, the second one, they're going to have to try to up that. And they didn't. It went a different direction. Schlocky action, but it's Sam Raimi schlocky action, which I love because things feel very visceral. And the action and the camera work that Sam Raimi has done, excellent stuff. Excellent. Ooh, good question. Have you seen Monkey Man? No, I want to see that. I'm going to see that. Warfare tomorrow, the ungentlemanly, or like the League of Ungentlemanly Warfare or something like that. I'm going to see that tomorrow. But Monkey Man, I want to see so bad because that looks like exactly what I was talking about, where people are like at their physical abilities doing some badass martial arts. Man, I can't wait to see that. Let's see. Speaking of Blade, I'm kind of curious about Mahershala Ali in the role. He's a fantastic actor. So, great actor. But Blade? Anything I've ever seen him in, I'd never get Blade vibes from him. You know, that's an interesting thing about Wesley Snipes, the way he acts. It's like he does this 80% serious, 20% like charm. Like, well, he'll happen to have this line or a look of his face or like it's so well done. It's subtle. And while Mahershala Ali's a great actor, he doesn't have that sort of charisma. I don't think maybe there's a role where he has. I think after seeing him in Luke Cage, I can definitely picture him as Blade. Was he Luke Cage? I thought that was the guy from Evil and that played that was in Halo 5. That actor, which I love. Also, I also think he should be a main. Okay. I just looked it up. Just tell me the name of the actor. Mike Coulter. Oh, you're saying he was Cottonmouth in Luke Cage. The club owner guy. Yeah, I did not see Luke Cage. I'll have to check that out. Yeah, see, Mike Coulter. Awesome actor. If you guys haven't watched Evil, he is so good in that. Like the type of character he has to be too, where it's like there's this fine line that he has to balance as a person that's supposed to be doing good, and he's always confronted with the evil, but he never fully. I don't know. It's just if you guys haven't seen Evil, the fourth season starts this month, I think. Is there an update on that? No, not yet. But yeah, the fourth season's supposed to be this month. I'm watching that. I cannot wait. Luke Cage had a lot of fantastic castings. Actually, Eric LeRae Harvey just absolutely juiced. Okay, I'm gonna have to watch that then. I didn't watch any of the Netflix Marvel shows, but I've heard recently too that they plan to try to make those canon with the MCU. Which I think they're doing that now because I think they're gonna obliterate the MCU and then start over. Which Kyle, Simply New Type, I want to talk to you sometime, and maybe that could be a podcast of, like, what could they possibly be doing with the X-Men for the cinematic universe. Like, I'd almost want them to just have a completely different universe that's X-Men, and then introduce the other universe versions of, you know, like what they had Nick Fury, and it was the white Nick Fury, Thunderbolt Ross, right? Isn't he in there? So, you know, stuff like that. Jessica Jones is mid, Iron Fist is terrible, Luke Cage is good, Daredevil season one is immaculate. What about Punisher? Oh, he says that. Oh, and King Dylan is saying Punisher's good. Punisher was mostly good, fumbles a few things, but I enjoyed it overall. I'm hoping that is the route they go. I have a feeling Secret Wars is going to soft reboot everything, which adds time for that. I watched, you know, the Marvel movies when they first came out, and then I'd skip them, watch some. You know, it was, when was it, Infinity War? I forget if it was Infinity War or Endgame, which was like, wow, this is amazing. I think it was Infinity War. And it was like, I felt like, though, I filled the cup. And there was like no more. And then it's just like they have to go back and go at a different angle. They're going to base the rebooted MCU around Spider-Man. So, yeah, that's interesting because I like that idea that at the end of that last Spider-Man movie, right, like people forget him and then he's in like a basic suit. So it'd be cool to see him do some basic stuff around the city. Yeah, I need a clean slate. So, and from what I know, and again, I don't really follow this stuff too closely, but I love movies, so I hear the other things, but it's like there's the Kang movie, which I think is going to be something else now. There's a Thunderbolts movie. So, like, I wonder how many more of these movies are going to do multiverse stuff, because even Marvel's had it, and there was a Blue Beast at the end of Marvel's. That was insane. And I didn't even know that until I read about it, so then I watched the after credits of Marvel's. Yeah, that was really cool. But, you know, this is what I think where Gundam could get exciting in the West, because we're so excited about, like, you know, with these movies, what they're going to do, all these characters, and Gundam already has all this stuff. We just need it westernized. And that's what's interesting, according to, I think I did a video a few weeks ago where there's an IMDb listing for not only a Gundam movie, but a Gundam TV series. So that could be the answer to that. Oh, is a Grandpa Gundam fighting a Sentinel in the background? Good question. Let's activate tracking mode. And we can remove here this, and then I'll walk this way. Backward a little more. A little more this way. Come on. Okay. Here we go. Here's Sentinel. A Sentinel holding Cyclops. Behind him is Granddaddy posing next to my vinyl record player. Or I guess all records are vinyl. So, okay. And then over here, which I don't know if I can get that far. I have Char. Yeah, Char on the other side. So Granddaddy Char. Oh, yeah. And Kyle, you were late. And I think I already showed you this anyway, but got the X-Men squad right here. That's right, X. Yeah, no, that's cool. Wrong head. Come here. Yeah, come on. Yeah, there you go. Okay, it's tracking well now. All right. Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, you know, it's been fun kind of mixing, like, this stuff. Like, because after really getting into Gundam, I did move away from Star Wars. All my Star Wars stuff is stored. And I had a few other, like, I have some Power Rangers, the MMPR. I have Alien vs. Predator stuff, and then the X-Men. So I sold everything else I had, and I kept those stored just in case. And I'm glad that I kept my X-Men stuff because, man, that cartoon got me back into it. And that's the thing, like, what I'm realizing, like, getting back into X-Men and, like, what I like about Gundam, it's, like, really the same stuff. There's, like, these serious matters that have to be dealt with while there's these really amazing characters and things going on. For X-Men, it's mutants. For Gundam, it's mobile suits. But it's, like, contained within the world we're in and what we think of the world. Yeah, it's really cool stuff. But, that might be it for today. I think, you know, I didn't really have too much to really say. There was not much Gundam news, really. I think the next big thing is I'm waiting for that movie, the Seed Freedom movie, to go see that. And then and around that time, you'll get that Immortal Justice Gunpla review, thanks to the Zionic Shadow in Sieg, New York. But yeah, this was a little fun one. I am completely sweating because when I close this, no AC gets in here, and I have a window here where the sun comes in, and I've been moving around. So, yeah, everyone, thanks for joining. This was a lot of fun. Let me know if you kind of like this idea for next time. Where the Gelgoogs? You caught me, Alter. You caught me. I have a Gelgoog. What's his name? I have a pink red Gelgoo. I think that's Annabelle Gatto. No, his is the blue one. I have two Gelgoogs. Okay, you guys are getting me off track. No, I've got two. Trust me, I've got two. And that's it, actually. I'm not a big Gelgooger. Gelgooger? Actually, yeah, before I go, I can walk backwards here. And, lower myself down here. And the logo's in the way, right? Let's see. Let's do this. All right. Whoa, I'm in the way. Let's see. Yeah, it's hard to see. I should just get it out, shouldn't I? But last time they got me in jail. Okay. Well, guys, that's the good choice, though. Okay, thanks. Yeah, respect. Yeah. Anyway, guys, thanks a lot. That was a lot of fun. I really had fun doing that. Yeah, we will all talk later. See you.